the air. Almost immediately, the others heard it as well. Jack looked around worriedly.
Swarm of fucking bees.
Could be, Jack. I can't see anything.
Ryan knew that the southern part of Deathlands was plagued occasionally by huge swarms of what used to be called killer African bees. He'd read in an old brittle mag once about how they'd been moving north from the forests of Brazil around the time the world blew apart. He'd never been clear about what bees from Africa had been doing in South America. That page had been missing. The sound was growing louder, a whining, like a distant electric drill cutting through the sky. But there was still no sign of the actual swarm. There wasn't a hint of cover for a good half mile, and even the fittest of them would take at least 5 minutes to sprint across the broken terrain. The speed at which the sound was racing toward them made it unlikely that they had even 2 minutes.
Why can't we see them?
Something blurred at the corner of Ryan's vision, and JB's beloved fedora flew from his head.
Dark night!
The sound receded across the valley, and then seemed to turn and head back toward them. Ryan felt a chill of unease at his nape. Whatever the creature was, it didn't seem like a swarm of bees, but it wasn't like anything that Ryan had ever encountered before. His eye raked the land below them.
You all right, JB?
Yeah, but something took a damn great bite out of my hat.
JB picked it up and poked a finger through a ragged gash near the crown.
It's coming again!
Mildred drew her ZKR 551 six-shot revolver. Chambered to take the standard 38 Smith & Wesson round, the blaster had been designed as a target pistol. Mildred had represented her country in the last ever Olympic Games in Atlanta in 1996 in the free shooting event, and had picked up the silver medal. Whatever it was closed in, then softened and seemed to swing high in the air above them. It was Christy, with her muti-enhanced vision, who finally spotted what they were up against.
There! Some kind of insect, just one.
All of them except Doc saw it. The old man had drawn his ponderous Lamar pistol and was waving it around. Everyone had a blaster out, but the target was tiny, hovering at least 100 feet above them. To Ryan, it looked like some sort of muti dragonfly, but from the evidence of JB's hat, it was a potentially lethal opponent.
Coming again!
Jack cradled his head to protect himself from the shrieking dive. JB was the only one to try to shoot at the plummeting speck of iridescent color. But the creature was way too fast and elusive. Its target was Christy, possibly because of her tumbling fiery hair. The woman raised a hand.
No!
The muti looped above them again. Christy held her right wrist in her left hand, dark blood trickling between her fingers. Her face was pale with shock, and she turned to look at Ryan through blurred eyes.
Christy, are you all right?
I'm fine, lover. It took a slice from my arm, but better find some way of stopping the little bastard before it takes out an eye.
Ryan was totally at a loss. The insect was too small and too fast for anyone to have much hope of hitting it, and ferocious enough to present a real threat to them. As Christy said, if it chose to go for an eye, the thought made him wince and lift a hand unconsciously to his one good eye.
It's getting ready to come again.
Perhaps if we all shoot at once?
No, this little mother's mine.
Mildred's blaster was steady in her right hand. She'd already operated the thumb-cocking hammer, and the ZKR 551 was ready to speak.
No hope, my dear Dr. Wyeth. There is more of a chance of finding snow in Albuquerque in July.
Shut up, Doc.
The creature was getting ready to blitz them again. Straining his vision, Ryan was just able to make it out as a tiny dot, wings humming as it held its position. It looked no bigger than a grain of sand against the light sky. The revolver bucked a little against Mildred's wrist.
Dark night! You got it, Mildred!
The mutant thudded to earth only a dozen paces from Ryan, hitting the top of a frost-shattered boulder and flopping lifelessly to the orange dust beneath it.
Of course.
The six friends circled the dead creature, where it lay, broken in the dirt.
Phew. Fucking bite.
It was a muti falcon, with a wingspan no larger than a child's hand. Its plumage was a dark, coppery green, almost black, and glistened in the sunlight. The heavy bullet had smashed its breast apart, killing it instantly. Its beak, hooked and vicious, was tipped with Christie's blood. She busily tied a strip of cloth around her wrist.
It's beautiful. Gaia, but it's so beautiful.
You make me feel bad about killing it.
JB was staring at the bullet wound in the falcon's body.
That has to be around the best show I ever saw, Mildred.
Well, I was aiming at its head. I guess I'm a little rusty.
Hell, if that's rusty, you're going to be scary pretty damn soon.
They left almost immediately, but the scavenging ants of the desert were already picking their way around the bird's corpse. There was still no sign of human life around the small farm. As they started toward the ribbon of highway, it became easier to make out the livestock. Cows, pigs, and horses, all in pens or corrals. Once they heard the sudden noise of a guard dog barking, but the sound stopped as abruptly as it had begun.
It can't have caught our scent. Wind's blowing the wrong way for that.
Anyone inside should have seen us by now. We stand out on this light sand like moose shit on a christening gown.
I've been considering that small, dark bird we saw, and there is something that evades the edge of my memory about such a falcon.
What's that, Doc?
All I recall...
A bullet kicked up a plume of dirt a yard from the toes of Doc Tanner's boots. As Ryan dove for cover into a shallow draw a dozen yards from the blacktop, he spotted the white puff of powder smoke from one of the windows of the house. He had already noticed that the spread was built like a small fortress. There was a heavy, studded door at the front, and all of the visible windows had stout wooden shutters with firing holes cut in their centers. A second floor also had protected windows. It looked at first glance that it would take some serious firepower to get inside. Despite the constant fire, everyone had easily made cover. If the aggressive defenders had waited another 50 yards or so, they could have caused some serious damage.
They're laughing. Crazy fucks.
Want us to start blasting back at them?
No, not yet, JB.
Isolated houses, most anywhere in Deathlands, were desperately vulnerable to attack. There were always gangs of roaming outlanders, hired guns, riding together in killer bands, and several areas still held groups of murderous muties. Ryan couldn't altogether blame someone who'd adopted the policy of shooting first and getting around to talking a while later. A dead man would never try to backshoot you.
You in there?
Nobody answered. Ryan cautiously eased his head up over the top of the ridge. Four of the front windows contained a rifle muzzle, but nobody replied to his yell.
Hey, in there!
Get on your way and nobody gets hurt!
We need water and food.
Go!
We've got Jack.
Both Ryan and JB carried Jack with them wherever they went, enough to pick up some of the basics with a little to spare. Some big vills issued their own script, but the ordinary Jack was accepted in most places.
Where are you from?
Traders. Wagon blew its engine out east.
You see that mountain go up?
Yeah, we were lucky. You gonna let us come in, or you gonna try and blow our heads off?
How many of you?
Six. Two of us women.
One of the women black?
Yeah. That a problem?
No. No problem, mister. You got blasters?
Ryan considered that one for a moment. JB, a half dozen paces to his left, glanced across at him.
Two single-shot homemades. One's a Winchester repeater. Sounds like an M16 as well.
If that was what the armorer thought, then that's almost certainly the firepower they had in the house. JB wasn't often wrong on weaponry. Ryan raised his voice to the listeners.
Yeah, we got us some blasters.
Any of you ride with Skullface?
Who?
Skullface!
Never heard of him.
You've been trading these parts and you never heard of Skullface.
We've been east trading in the glades. Never heard of any Skullface that way.
Well, they say he hunts south of here. We ain't never seen him, but we heard tell from travelers that way. You sure you ain't with him?
Mister, I'm hot, thirsty, and tired. So are my friends. This talk is making me powerful weary. You gonna let us in, or...
Ryan let the sentence dangle in the hot, still air.
Or what?
Or we'll shoot the hell out of your dog-knobbing, shit-tipping little hut.
Oh, yeah? You and whose army, mister?
But Ryan knew that his anger had sown seeds of doubt.
We got Plasex enough to spread you and your kin all over the fucking desert. Thin as honey on a sour roll.
Now there ain't no call for that. Just show yourselves, slow and easy.
All right, I'll stand up here. Then you come out the door. How's that?
Sure. You move first.
Careful, lover. Can't say I like the sound of his voice.
Me neither. But I like the look of that well out back.
I like smell of bacon bread.
Keeping his hand hovering over the butt of the Sig Sauer P226 pistol and pushing back his long coat to give himself a clear draw at it, Ryan stood up. It wasn't the first time in his life that he'd stood out in the open facing hidden blasters, but that didn't make it any easier. The skin still crawled across his cheeks, tugging at the edge of the livid scar that coursed from eye to mouth. His fingers still flexed, wanting to grip the butt of the pistol. Every nerve was taut as a waxed bowstring, ready for the lightning reflex that would probably still be too slow to save his life. One of the rifle muzzles had disappeared. Apart from that, there didn't seem any sign of movement from the fortified house. Christie's sharp hearing picked up the faint sounds of oiled bolt sliding.
Door's opening, sweetie.
There was an edge of darkness against the sunbright wood, growing slowly wider.